roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, Ari's co-host. What's up, Goz?
What up, homie?
Not much. Ready to crank out the second edition of the week for Junkie Radio podcast form. I specify that because
you're about to get
never hurts to remind people that we go to Sportscaster on Wednesdays. A third Junkie Radio show is waiting for you there, folks. Sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. In video form with guests, except yesterday, the guests didn't show. But seriously, if you really want 50% more Junkie Radio, a third show is waiting for you at sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. Just like we do usually on the second show of the week, we'll kind of prep you for the weekend, review all of the stories from the week, and then wish you a fine weekend as we go into yet another weekend of course, UFC. They always deliver. Bellator, though, is back and even won championship. So we'll start off with that. We'll start off with all of the pertinent information for those shows in terms of viewing pleasure. And, of course, we'll go over the news nuggets. So buckle up, folks. It's Junkie Radio on a Thursday, August 20th, early morning edition.
Y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
All right, guys, I can never really get the full lineup of what's going on at ONE Championship, but they're a quality organization. We have some friends down there. What I can tell you is on their fabulous ONE Championship app at 8:30 a.m. Eastern in the morning. That's right, Eastern tomorrow. ONE Championship will have a fight card available on the app. So that's 5:30 a.m. Pacific. Check it out. August 21st. That's tomorrow, Friday, in Bangkok, Thailand. So over there, it's prime time for them. That's why you have to get the early viewing. It's called ONE Championship 12, No Surrender 3. Now, later on that night, here in North America, at the Mohegan Sun, Bellator 244, Bader versus Nemkov. Ryan Bader will defend his Bellator light heavyweight title versus Vadim Nemkov. It's been a while since he's defended this, so looking forward to seeing Bader in action. Julia Budd versus Jesse Miel. Valentin Moldavsky versus Roy Nelson. Andrew Capel versus John Salter. That completes the main card. Adam Piccoletti, Eric Perez. That's Goyito, if you all recall. Mm-hmm. He's on the card as well. I think those are the only recognizable names there that I see. Josh Hill on the prelims. The prelims, by the way, MMA Junkie, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific. The main card, Paramount and DAZN, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Seeing that you are rankings chair.
Goz, you want to know something?
Yeah, go ahead.
This week's the first time I didn't do them since 2013.
Really?
Yeah, I've been having a lot of headaches. And I just, every time I sit down, Either we've been doing other stuff, interviews, or I've just been taking naps. But with John Morgan on furlough, we weren't going to be able to address them anyway. I still have to turn them in, and I'm still a few days late, but all that will be reflected on next week's.
You know, yesterday when you said you had a headache, almost instantly I got one. I only slept 2 hours yesterday, maybe like an hour and a half. Mm. It was bad. But anyway, you're the rankings chair. And here's something I've been hearing from people. With John Jones vacating light heavyweight, what does that do for Ryan Bader being the best light heavyweight there is?
I saw that. Ryan Bader actually said that. So that's actually one of the first stories I want to address. But just let me finish this real fast. On Saturday is UFC on ESPN 15. So this fight card is on big ESPN, folks. The prelims, by the way, are on ESPN Plus and ESPN. 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. That's pretty early on a Saturday. And the main card, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. That's an hour and a half earlier than like a pay-per-view, for example. So I don't want anyone to get caught off guard. Frankie Edgar versus Pedro Munhoz is the main event. Alonzo Menifield versus Ovince St. Preux. All right, so let's get into that. Let's get into some of the news. Yeah, you're right. I saw that. Bader said not only John Jones goes, he said DC. Because DC for a while was down there, you know, and I guess he hasn't been for a few years. But he's saying he's the best. There's an argument to be made that he's the best 205er on the planet. Well, he hasn't really fought at 205 much, for starters. But let's take a look at the USA Today Sports and MMA Junkie rankings. If you hit rankings at the top, that tab at the top of the website, you'll see our rankings page come up, and then you hit the drop down and pick the weight class that you want. It says John Jones number one, Dominic Reyes number two, Ryan Bader number three. I would say, let's see how Bader looks. You might have to give Bader that. He might have to slip by Dominic Reyes. A title defense is a title defense. You can't say, well, who's Nemkov? Nemkov did beat Phil Davis. But the guys over at Bellator, they don't fight as often as I'd like to see them fight. Good competition. Sometimes they'll fight, but it's not against good competition. See, Dominic Reyes, he's got that one loss. He's 12-1 against John Jones, where many said he may have even won. But all right, he lost 3-2. No shame in that. But along the way, Dominic Reyes has picked up some really solid wins. It's what allows us to go, okay, no, he's not number seven. He's number five. Oh, no. He won. He's number three. He helps us out by fighting other tough guys. Bader, Davis, and some of the guys at Bellator don't do that frequently enough unless they fight each other, which they have, by the way, twice. Bader won them both.
So should Reyes get a victory in his next fight? Is it going to be a thing where they're just flip-flopping, or does Ryan Bader have a little bit of a lead?
Maybe. I'd have to side-by-side him. But I would say Reyes would probably be the number one guy. Hmm. I mean, he's got a better record. Not more wins. Ryan's got twice as many wins. But he's only got one loss. There's something to be said for that. And what was the one loss? It was John Jones. If he were to beat Jan Blachowicz, I mean, Blachowicz is taking, I think, a 5 or 6 fight win streak going in. So he definitely deserves it. Reyes is coming off a loss, but it's a loss to John Jones. But Blachowicz is a quality win to have. Vadim Nemkov is a quality Bellator win. I think he's down there in the rankings. Nemkov, he was for a while. I was battling, but it was hard to hold on to his position because, yeah, he's not. He actually already fell out of our honorable mention. So Bader better look pretty damn good. But see, you know what Bader's going to do next? He's going to go up and fight at heavyweight. So yeah. Eventually his stock's going to drop. So he may jump ahead here on this one, and then the other guy might jump the other way.
Yeah, exactly. He just doesn't have enough guys in his division. But, I mean, you know, the addition of Corey Anderson, that helps a little bit, right?
It helps. Yeah, at one time, Liam McGeary got some respect. King Mo got some respect. Even Quinton. I think Quinton had a couple at 205, so he was hanging up there somewhere. You know, it's slow in and slow out. We don't just turn our back. Mauricio Shogun just recently dropped out, probably in the last couple months. He had won 4 of 5. But, you know, he wasn't fighting as often, and some of these other guys are. So, that was one of the news stories I wanted to lead off with, was with Ryan Bader saying that. And I thought about it for a second. I go, he may have a point. But I think let's digest what he does Friday, tomorrow, and then we'll go from there. And yeah, folks, if you haven't heard, John Jones has vacated the 205-pound belt in the UFC. That's the light heavyweight division. Happened a couple days ago, and he's already pronounced himself as a heavyweight. It was all something that we heard, and to me it sounded more like a threat goes. Like, hey, everyone else is getting booked. Izzy versus Costa, you know, has been booked. Davison Figueiredo is already going to defend his title. And, you know, we were starting to hear about, you know, Habib and Gaethje had already been done. But just those, you know, either they had recently fought a champions or they were starting to get booked. And when I started hearing about John Jones, you know, saying what he was saying, I just thought, oh, here we go again, kind of, you know. But to his word, he said, yep, all right, heavyweight, I like what I hear, I vacate, boom. Mm-hmm. And then the UFC goes, all right, cool, Reyes and Blachowicz, boom. And in a way, I've taken a few days to unpack it. I kind of like it.
You do?
Well, I mean, my first preference would have been Jones versus Reyes again and Jones versus Blachowicz right after that. And then I guess Jones versus the winner of Glover versus Santos. So, you know, because he had people that I guess had earned it. If you're going to say, hey, Volkanovski, you and Holloway run it a third fucking time, then yeah. Hey, Jones, you and Reyes run it a second fucking time in my eyes, you know. But even if Dana goes, nah, we don't want to run it. All right, cool. Plug in Blachowicz. He earned it, you know. So, and each guy was giving John, you know, it was getting competitive, you know. So I kind of wanted to see it, but at some point before he retired, I also wanted to see John Jones as a heavyweight.
Me too, but I personally hate it because I do feel like he still has fights left at light heavyweight, and I feel like when the UFC does this, and this is what bugs me the most, when they do it, it just feels like a money grab. Props to them to saying Francis Ngannou's next, but they basically said when that's all said and done, you can probably have the winner. And what that does to me is it just says that belt means dick. It means nothing to them. And that's just sad. Anybody outside looking in can just see how ridiculous.
But he'd be fighting for a belt at heavyweight. And he vacated the other one, so he's not holding one up either.
But he gave one up like as if it's just nothing. You know what I mean?
He did defend it 11 times.
It's a money grab.
Though I would have wanted to see him break Demetrius' record and go for 12, then go up. He's tied, Demetrius.
Mm-hmm. If I'm Dana White, I say, look, dude, there's still matches that people want to see at light heavyweight. When you're done with that, then go up.
But John's saying, you're not paying me what I want. And I think Dana said, okay, you got to move up to heavyweight to do that.
That's what I think looks silly. All that looks silly because what it all comes down to is money. Always money.
So silly that the UFC should have stepped up and made him happy, or silly on John's part for not making more?
It's not even so much that they should step up. They should already pay these guys and make them happy. You know, there's a lot of guys in a lot of divisions that are happy with what they get paid as the champion. Habib being one of them. Somehow they come to an agreement with Habib, right?
Well, he got the benefit of that 2.4 million pay-per-view with Conor.
Yeah, that too.
Conor was huge.
So I just don't like the look of it. If you're a champion, you should never want to vacate your belt. Never. Never. It should be the most important thing on the planet for you. And the UFC should make it that way for you. They should make it so that you never want to do that. And it doesn't always work out that way.
But you wanted to make more money. Hey,
Cody Garbrandt, you want to be a flyweight champ? Sure. Just walk right in. Here's a title shot. Hey, John Jones, want to fight for the heavyweight title? Here you go, buddy.
Well, that one's...
There's a lot of people that put work.
He's chasing history, though. I think he just saw what DC did. DC's retiring. Maybe he's thinking, man, I'd like to win a title in two different belts.
But he doesn't have to do it right now. He can do that a year from now.
You don't know how
there's
he feels.
Viable,
you don't know how his body feels goes.
But
he's 33 and
but
has
there's
mileage.
Viable bodies in the light heavyweight division. There's matchups that make sense, and there's matchups that make sense at heavyweight. That's what I'm saying. Like, these things should only happen when divisions are like completely cleared out or something like that. And that's not the case right now.
He cleared it once, but then the new crew came in. And you could
and
say
almost took it from
well,
him
but you could say he cleared Santos and Reyes. He should fight Blachowicz then at that point.
Maybe
you know I see that point. Blachowicz would be perfect, and I'll tell you why. Because then he could say, "Hey, I know you want me to fight Reyes and Santos again, because he's already beaten Teixeira. He's the other guy that's on a 4-fight win streak. He can go. I've already beat them. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll beat Blachowicz. Now I've cleared it. Because you know if you're going to get into rematches, then you're never going to clear it, I guess. But
But they're controversial rematches.
Blachowicz would allow for him to break the record of Demetrius. Mm-hmm. And I think that would have been something that appealed to him. When he goes to heavyweight, he does not... I mean, I guess to break the record there is four. The only thing I was saying the other day, though, was I wonder if looking at Stipe fight at 230 told him, well, I almost weigh 230 by the time I fight. I think I can get this guy, you know?
I think it absolutely does. There's a little bit of Floyd in John Jones sometimes.
So should he have said, I want to get in there? Well, no, because a few months ago he was talking about Ngannou, so it's not like he was ditching the big guy either.
Yeah, but you can look at Ngannou and say, if you're going to fight him now, right? Because still early in Ngannou's career.
I guess.
There's like a little bit
to him. But then if you wait too long, well, he's past his prime.
Like, I'll give you an example. Like with Floyd, when Canelo Alvarez, nobody wanted to fight him. But when he fought Austin Trout actually gave him a run for his money. And the one thing that stood out was he was having problem with a really fast fighter. Okay, and that's what Floyd has. Mm. And I think the second that fight happened, he said, holy shit, I can get this guy right now. Let's fight.
I'll give you this. Right? He may be thinking about that. Oh shit, Reyes was close.
I don't blame him.
But Blachowicz is a new matchup. But I could see maybe Reyes. It's hard for me to stand here and go, the greatest of all time with 11 title defenses is running from anyone. But he might be thinking that. I think the time to think about Ngannou was the first time Miocic got him, when he didn't have good cardio, when he wasn't settled in between France and Vegas. Mm-hmm. You know, he had that brain fart against Lewis. Then might have been the time to go, I'll fight that guy. You know what I mean? Now, since then, Ngannou's won four in a row. And I don't know. I like the way Stipe Miocic said, yeah, sure. You know, okay, whatever. I don't know. There's a lot. There's a lot to think about, you know, in this regard. You know, I guess that's the fun part. That's the fun part, is speculating. But I will stand by this. I would have wanted to see Blaho. If he was going to say only one more at light heavyweight, then I move up, I would have said Blachowicz. Because it's fresh. It allows him to say, I cleared the division. And it goes for Demetrius's record. Others would probably go, nah, dog. I want to see Reyes again. Because Reyes is already money in the bank. It's a money in the bank type of fight. However, you didn't know that until he fought Reyes, so you also don't know it until he fights Blachowicz. He could fight Blachowicz and it could be a snoozer and we go, oh, that sucked. Or he could fight Blachowicz and then we all go, fuck, I want to see that one again, or whatever. The same way we all wanted to see Santos before Reyes came along. Remember, Santos took him to a split decision, whereas Reyes was a
on one leg
unanimous decision, however very, very close. That damn John Jones can get us talking, though, huh?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I don't blame him for trying. I think it's the UFC. The UFC is really the one that I'm coming at. And it's these antics that they play that make their belt seem like nothing.
Yeah, and I don't believe that they should tell him, if you want to make more money, come to heavyweight.
No.
Because Conor, he's not a heavyweight. GSP, he's not a heavyweight. Anderson, he's not a heavyweight. I bet you in their heyday, they made more than Jones. Or... well, Jones, for a couple fights, probably banked some good money, especially the DC fights. They got like 800,000 buys or whatever. But I don't know, man. Well, what's done is done. At the end of the day, I've always said this. These are grown men making grown men decisions. They're the ones that sign the contracts. You know, it's not like the UFC puts a blindfold on them and goes, sign this. They look it over. They consult their manager. And then they go, yep. You know, I'll sign that. Then they figure out that they might be worth it months later. That's kind of what's happened with Masvidal a little bit. But you shouldn't have signed. Now, Masvidal will argue and go, hey, they either tell you take it or leave it. You know, so sometimes they back you into a corner. And to Goz's point, that's true. We don't like the way the UFC does that. Now, the UFC will tell you, oh, yeah. Well, back in, like, I don't remember the dates, but in the early 2000s, Couture left us. Tito threatened to leave us. BJ left us. So we do have to protect ourselves a little bit because... you know, back then, if they went, I mean, it killed their show. Now, if some of these guys go, they got so many in the pipeline, they really don't have to worry about it. Anyway, yeah. And now Cormier will have to come off probably the heavyweight rankings. He sounds more and more serious about him being done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Jones will have to come out of the light heavyweight rankings. Although sometimes we like to wait until they have the official fight booking, or sometimes we like to wait until they have... until they've actually fought. Because this could very well happen. Dominic Reyes, by the way, is fighting Jan Blachowicz on September 26th. It's the co-main event of UFC 253. UFC 253's main event is Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa. With 3 weeks to go, Reyes or Blachowicz, if for whatever reason they can't go, I don't want to say because of a fill-in-the-blank injury because I don't want to jinx each guy. But let's just say they can't go for whatever reason. John Jones could be sitting there going, eh, since I'm not fighting at heavyweight just yet, sure, I'll come down if you guys need me. If you take care of me, pay me right. And I could see John Jones going down there and fighting, you know.
I don't think he can.
And the UFC is such a clown show at times that they'd probably go, all right, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever, Dana would just go, nobody ever officially won the belt, so technically he's still champ. You know, I mean, they can do whatever they want when it comes to that part of it.
I don't think he can, because if he's taking becoming a heavyweight serious, then he's probably putting on a lot of muscle, and that's difficult to just shed like the way you would normally. So that's one. And two, God, that would just be such an ugly look, wouldn't it?
But that's, think about all the looks that they've had
I guess,
recently where you just go, what is that? What is that? Look, I love Cody Garbrandt, and I think Cody Garbrandt versus Davison Figueiredo arguably might even be a better fight than either Moreno or Perez, although Moreno can throw, man. He could throw some chingazos. Mm-hmm. That guy's an out-and-out Mexican fighter who loves the
and there's a storyline the there. Crowd.
Correct. But make no mistake, I've always liked Garbrandt. I've always liked his little gangster appeal as well. So as excited I am about the matchup, I don't think he deserves it by just dropping. He is a former champion of bantamweight. You got to give him that. He is coming off a win. But what does that do to everyone that's fighting for their spot? It would be like in football, if you are a wide receiver and you go out there and you're at practice first, you leave last when practice is done, you memorize the playbook, you encourage your teammates to be better, you always support the coach, you work harder than anyone else, you don't drop the ball, you block when it's running plays, and then on Sunday they just start somebody else. I mean, you'd be like, what the fuck do I got to do over here to, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know.
Silly.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Mm-hmm. Of all the people that you can choose in that sort of situation, Cody's the guy that I could probably stomach it the best just because of what he's gone through. But it just sucks. It really does. I don't know how you look at the guys in line.
You mentioned that the other day, or yesterday, or the day before. I'm not trying to be a TJ Dillashaw cheerleader. Mm-hmm. TJ Dillashaw was caught for EPO in this fight versus Henry Cejudo. But Jeff Nowitzki, they asked him, well, what about the Garbrandt fights? And so at first he said, we don't believe he cheated. But then it became so big that he actually went back because they still have their samples.
Mm-hmm.
And they tested it from both fights and they said there was no EPO. So Cody Garbrandt, I mean, I guess they could have been something else. I don't know if they actually, in fact, blow through every single performance-enhancing type of drug that there is in the history of mankind. I don't know. But as far as that, if Cody's going to accuse him on that, he's been tested against that. It seems like a clean fighter knocked out Cody Garbrandt. But
you have to go with what the testing results are. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. In your life, how many guys do you know are part-time cheaters?
True. True. I see his point there. And Cody is on record for stating that, he's doing it. Although when I used to hear that, I used to go, these guys are going to say all the dirtiest things they can about each other before they fight, you know? So I took it with a grain of salt. All right. I kind of casually mentioned Jan Blachowicz and Dominic Reyes are in the co-main event at UFC 253 on September 26th. Let me clarify. For the last few weeks, we've been saying that UFC 253 is going to be on September 19th. It's been moved back to September 26th, and it's two title fights. It's that one for the vacant UFC light heavyweight title and Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa. And that clarified a few things. For one, Izzy and Costa aren't going to coach tough, and they're fighting sooner rather than later. What we don't know is location. That we don't know. Send location. Now, the 19th, what happened was that main event is freed up. Well, it was until Tyrone Woodley decided to sign against Colby Covington. That didn't get talked about as much, Goes. Is it because all these title fights and John Jones and DC's retirement?
No. It's because neither one has really come out and done much in the media, have you noticed? Neither one has really said too much, which is so weird because Colby's the first one that wants to talk about those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Tyrone say a couple things here and there. But this is like a time, I can't even remember a time when the UFC had announced so many matchups that made sense, that were quality matchups. It all happened so quickly that I just feel like maybe there's just not enough time to consume all this information that's being thrown our way. But yeah, it did kind of fly under the radar. I mean, you got to think about what was going on. The greatest heavyweight trilogy was just about to end as well. It was just a lot going on.
I hope they pipe up.
I hope so too, because that's what got us here. I've really liked
hearing them over the years. I think what sucks for the fighters is having to pay the piper if you lose. You know? But I mean, both guys have lost before. Both guys haven't lost to each other, but both guys have lost. They've tasted defeat. They've been humbled.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. But then you go out there and blast someone else, and I think life is good again. I don't know.
Everybody's different,
and some people take losses really, really hard.
I'm concerned for Tyron Woodley because it wasn't that long ago that he was talking about, I need to take a break and figure things out. That doesn't feel like it was that long ago. You know, I thought he was going to take until like maybe November,
but December. He also told us that he wanted to knock off a few in a row. Kind of always says that, though.
But that was before that fight. And in that fight, he didn't just lose to Gilbert Burns. He was dominated in that fight. And that's just something that you don't really see out of Tyron Woodley. Like, if he's losing a fight, it's usually a close fight or something, right? This was domination. And it was in areas that he was supposed to have the advantage. So when that happened, he kind of said, like, I need to figure things out. And I don't know that enough time has gone by for that to happen and still train for Colby Covington. So this fight is happening relatively quickly. And I'm a little concerned for Tyron in that respect.
The loser's going to lose some steam.
Oh, yeah.
Covington's still working off the loss versus Usman, which a lot of people gave him respect for. Even Usman did. You know, that was a close fight. He broke his jaw. He's been back since then, but he hasn't fought. Sorry. If he were to come back and beat Woodley, he right away is a contender because since then, Masvidal's left. And Gilbert Burns, I guess he's fighting COVID. I imagine all these guys are recovering when we hear that they're fighting COVID. Jacare, you know, all those guys are coming back. There is still Leon Edwards chirping, Jeff Neal, Vicente Luque. Ponzinibbio's coming back finally. Lawler, Magny. I don't know. We'll see. But Covington can easily cut that line because Jorge's out of the way. Now, if Covington loses, I think you got to do Jorge and Covington at some point. If Covington wins, he's not going to want to fight Jorge. He's probably going to say, I want Usman again, or the winner, to be fair, of Usman and Burns. And if Woodley wins, sorry, that's the... Yeah, if Covington wins, that's what he wants. If Woodley wins, all he's thinking about is gold. But I think he's reasonable enough to know that the loss to Burns hurts him there. He probably may have to take one more, and it'll probably be one of those guys I just named off.
Tell me if this sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, we're talking about them losing. So if Colby Covington were to lose to Tyron Woodley, I feel like he's better off getting knocked out than he would be losing a decision. Because that last fight with Usman was so close. He just didn't have enough, right? He fell just a little short. And I think of in another fight, he falls just a little bit short again.
Demoralizing?
I think it's a little demoralizing. I think it kind of will start to look bad. But if he were to get knocked out, at least he could say, hey, I just got caught. But remember, it wasn't that long ago that with the champion, I battled. We went to the very end. This guy just caught me. I think it would be very demoralizing if he lost another decision for him.
Yes, as long as it's not a brutal concussion type of a KO. Sometimes you can dust yourself off and go, man, I got caught. In this sport, we all get caught. Tyron's got power, blah, blah, blah. But you're right. When you get demoralized over five rounds, that one's tough sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of what happened with Usman and Woodley. I don't think Woodley won a round. And by the way, I just casually dropped Jeff Neal's name. You were there. I peeked in on that interview with Mike Bond.
Yeah.
That guy went through a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Being septic? Oof. I mean, he was really confused as to what's going on. But when he said, I drove to the hospital and I barely had the energy to drive and barely had the energy to get out of the car and walk. Like, he could have collapsed, man. Like, right there in the parking lot or on the way. Man, that was brutal what he went through.
Yeah, I think it seemed like he didn't really grasp everything that had happened until it had passed. But
a blood infection.
Huh? Can you imagine at some point somebody telling you, like, you almost died, bro? Like, that's super, super scary.
Yeah. Now, here's one that we haven't covered in any of the content for this week. Dana White said, in a perfect world, Zabit Magomedsharipov versus Yair is five rounds. Yes, I agree with him. If those two are going to fight, I'd love to see five rounds. I would have loved to see five rounds of Cater versus Magomedsharipov, but didn't work out that way. But he's telling us the writing's on the wall. Holloway's going to get his third shot against Volkanovski. Because Zombie versus Brian Ortega, folks, if you haven't heard, they're fighting. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been booked already.
I thought about that, but then I thought, well, then why don't you just announce it? There's got to be a reason.
Well, Yair had that. Right? He had some sort of a high ankle sprain, right? The one that we hear about always in football.
So what was it?
Yeah, it was a high ankle sprain.
It was something to do with his ankle.
Yeah,
but I remember it not being them not calling it a sprain.
Okay. Well, he said it wasn't serious, and he said, "Wait for me till November." He was telling Zabit on social media.
Mm-hmm. Well, Zabit
was like, "Hey, man, enough with you. Like, you get injured a lot," which is kind of true, but. If Zabit's not going to get the title, I'm looking at the USA Today Sports MMA Junkie Rankings. And after Volkanovski and Holloway, it's Ortega, who's booked against Korean Zombie on October 17th. It's a UFC fight night. Don't ask me where, because they're either in Vegas or Yas Island. And if Zabit gets booked, then I guess lingering out there is still Calvin Kattar, who doesn't have a fight booking. Gozan, I think he should be fighting for a title at some point. But he did lose his beat. That's a really tough argument. Even Calvin would admit that. You got Josh Emmett, but I don't see him leaping ahead of all these names I mentioned. He's not popping, I guess. Hanato Moicano, Dan Ige, Merced back there. I mean, there starts to begin a big drop-off, you know? So I think we're basically staring at Volkanovski versus Holloway three.
Say it ain't so. I can't. How do you stomach it? How?
What if each guy starts off with a knife in their hand? And once they stab once or slice once, then they got to throw it outside the octagon.
They're
kind of like in the movie Gladiator. Remember in the movie Gladiator? Didn't they stick them with like a pick?
Yeah.
And then they go, all right, now go out there and fight Commodus.
Mm-hmm.
He still beat him.
I don't even get that.
Hey, what if you got that intel? What if you're at the stadium, at the Coliseum, and then you go, hey. I'm a friend with one of the homies, one of the guards. I grew up with them. Mm-hmm. And they just told me they stabbed a Spaniard. Because, you know, they were betting. You'd see them with the papers and betting. Imagine if you go, hey, give me Commodus. This guy's been stabbed, you know. And then all of a sudden that happens. And because Commodus dies. Now, granted, so the other guy. But the general, I guess, the Spaniard won.
Mm-hmm.
That got to be one of the worst beats ever.
But when he walks out, he's already kind of like limping and he's got one arm dragging.
The stadium thinks he's playing possum, though.
Nah, man. If I see that, I look over at my buddy and I fist bump him. We cheers with our beer like, dog, you were right. He got stabbed. Woo,
easy money. You'd be ecstatic if you got Commodus, right?
So but you're right. You lose, it is the worst beat ever.
You've got to be giving that Frank Mir face to the guy that tipped you off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, then he'd be going.
Your dude got stabbed before? That's what I'd be.
Well, then that
guy
would have every right to go. Hey, he's still a general, man. That's Commodus. I mean, I don't think Commodus was known as this great fighter, was he?
Nah, they made fun of him. Remember, for always getting to the battles late. I don't know how we got to that, but I mean, dude, this is a very dangerous situation for the UFC.
For which one?
The doing the rematch, the rematch, because essentially you have to do it for everyone at that point. Everybody who has a bad beat, you have to do it for him. It doesn't make sense to do it here and not for everyone else.
I wonder if they just don't like Zabit or if they don't or if they really want an American champ. I mean, I'm exploring, guys. I don't know. I'm trying to see what's the problem here. You can't put Ortega because the last time he fought, he lost a world title. You know, I said the other day, they got a lot of international champions and they got a lot of international contenders. I wonder if that's appealing to ESPN, or I mean, it's not the end of the world to have Connor as a champ because he speaks English and he's hella sellable. But I mean, Figueredo doesn't speak a lick of English. I'm not saying Joe B1 Kenobi would have been the most charismatic, but still, you know, long time flyweight, long time lower weight class fighter. He would have been interesting. And then you got Peter Yan now. Volkanovski, he speaks English, but is he like charming or anything like that?
A little bit. He can
maybe,
be.
Maybe, yeah. Izzy's got swag. He can speak English. He's not American, but still, you know, I think he's holding it down.
He's on the Usman, cover for EA.
Everybody gives Usman trouble that he's a nice guy. He's a hell of a champion, but is he marketable? Is he, you know what I mean?
He just doesn't have that appealing style.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then Khabib, same thing. You know, super popular. You can't take that away from him. It helped that he beat Conor. That helps. But he's not pulling up in a Lamborghini to a nightclub. Hell, no one is in the pandemic. But you know what I mean. I don't think GQ's calling him to say, hey, put a cigar in your mouth and sit on top of a Lambo. Let's do a cover shoot and bring some chicks. I mean, that's not him at all. You know what I mean? Miocic isn't even that guy. I listened yesterday just for funsies. I hadn't caught the post-fight. And I listened to Miocic. I said, okay, what is it here? What is it here that we just can't seem to get around that this is the baddest man? You notice not many MMA fans go on boxing sites or Twitter and go, hey, we got the baddest man on the planet. We don't really see. We should. We got every right to say it to pro wrestling fans or boxing fans. Hey, your guy's tough, but we got the baddest motherfucker on the planet. We just don't. Mm-hmm. We don't. And who's the baddest in boxing? Tyson Fury right now. Who's the baddest in pro wrestling? I haven't kept up, but who's the champ right now?
I don't know. I think it's passed around.
Is it?
Yeah.
Last I remember, Kofi Kingston was on one side. And that was a while ago.
I mean, it's always like Brock, right? I imagine, and someone else.
When Brock's champ, I guess the pro wrestling side can say, we got our guy. He's a monster. But he got his ass kicked in MMA. Though he did kick some ass in MMA, too. I'll always respect Brock, but when he fought the toughest competition, you know, it didn't go well for him. But yeah, so I don't, going back to what you said, I can't understand why this love affair with Volkanovski versus Holloway 3. Hey, Max, go fight someone, and if you win, all right, we'll shove you in there for the third time. But we can't, we just can't do this. This isn't healthy for this division. It's not healthy for
the look of the company.
Yeah.
It really looks like they're almost playing favorites.
They should have done zombie.
It looks bad.
South Korea is a big combat sports country, and it's a big sporting country. Mm-hmm. I think South Korea would have been huge. And he doesn't speak very much English, but wouldn't you say he's charming?
Yeah.
Like, he's a, I don't know, there's some sort of an appeal to him, you know what I mean?
Just if you go to the, whatever the hell it used to be called, but the convention, how many people walking around with zombie shirts?
Right. That's that it factor, the word IT, it. Zombie's got it. His t-shirt back in the day from Chari Costa was money. I don't know. And he fights his ass off, honestly. And he would have a 4-5 win streak if Yair Rodriguez doesn't throw that upward elbow, with like seconds left in round 5 of their fight a couple years ago.
That's a pretty bad beat, too.
That's one of the worst. But nothing's
worse than
three Columbus. Of his best years, he served the South Korean military. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was Dana, I'd say fucking plug him in. Because if he wins, I think we're better off than if Volkanovski wins. And now we can say Max versus TKZ is a fresh matchup. But I would still tell Max, go get a win. Look, you've polished off a lot of dudes, man. All we're asking you to do is do what you normally do. If just you've come up short against Volkanovski. That could be Cater, or that could be Zabit, maybe. I don't know. And if he doesn't win, then I guess he wasn't going to be one of those guys was going to dethrone him anyway, right?
Yeah.
So, and I don't think that's big box office. So why are they protecting, or why are they so, you know,
if they fight again,
does somebody slip under Dana's door a report and it says the Hawaii report? And is there some stats that say, oh man, we're losing fans left and right in Hawaii? What actually is making him be so obsessed with this?
I have no idea. But if they fight again and Max Holloway wins, and it's a controversial decision where everybody goes, what the hell? Volkanovski won that fight. How do you not do it again?
I know.
Because he did it for the other guy. That's the problem that this fight creates.
Yeah. But they haven't made the fight yet, folks. It's just we're going through the news, and Zombie versus Ortega is done, and it looks like Zabit versus Yair is still lukewarm. So we went through these names like Cater and Emmett and Moicano and Ige and Bektik. No disrespect to them, but they're just not ready to compete for the title. Doug Nasty's 13-0, but he hasn't fought anyone at the top yet. And then you got Arnold Allen, Shane Burgos, and a few others. They're just not there yet. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I love the matchups, though. It's not like Zombie and Ortega's happened. It's never happened, so I'm looking forward to it, but still. Anyway, listen, folks. Go to MMA Junkie and scroll your ass off, and you can see all the matchups that have been made in the past like week or two. Not only title fights, but big, big matchups. We went through this already once on Sportscaster. We did it on Monday's show. Brandon Moreno, he's fighting Alex Perez. Carlos Condit's back. He's fighting Court McGee. That one just kind of snuck by. Anderson Silva, it looks like his last fight versus Uriah Hall. Come on now. I mean, there are fights that have just been, you know, the Blachowicz-Reyes matchup I mentioned. Costa versus Adesanya. Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis is done. Shogun Hua versus Paul Craig. Shogun usually takes a whole year off. Now it's only been months and he's already back. So good on him. Covington versus Woodley. Cowboy's got a matchup. I think he's got Nico Price. There really, really is a lot of stuff. And, of course, we got you covered on MMA Junkie. Sadiq Youssef versus Edson Barbosa. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, there is a lot here, folks. Check it out. Really, really good articles. Mike Bond's at it again with his Fun Facts article. I love those. I set that one to the side. Basically, it's called Free Facts. Prefax, excuse me. So it's UFC on ESPN 15 Prefax. But there's some really, really nice news nuggets there. Roy Nelson's back in action. He says he knows he still has it because he can go a few rounds with Francis Ngannou. I guess that has to be a little bit of a blessing, right? You're fighting, getting paid, and it's not Ngannou in front of you.
Hell yeah.
Ngannou doesn't go easy, man, at the gym. All right, folks, we're going to bounce on out of here. As always, thank you for your support. Follow Goes on social media. His Instagram and Twitter is at The Goes, and myself, I'm at MMA Junkie George on both social media platforms. Check us out on Spinning Backlick on Mondays. It drops on the website on Tuesdays. We record it on Mondays. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it drops on Tuesdays. But at any point in time, if you like them, you can always go back to youtube.com/MMA Junkie Video. That's our YouTube channel. A lot of our interviews are there. The spinning backlicks are there. Rankings report are there from the beginning to the end. Sometimes you only get the video highlights with the interviews that we do, the recaps that are done on the website. So if you want to listen to more of any of our guests, just go to the YouTube channel and check it out. A shout out to Danny Segura, cranking out the Hablemos MMA podcast en español. Si hablas español, suscríbete. We're going to get on out of here. Enjoy the fights this weekend. We'll see you all on Monday. In the meantime, go out there and be a champion.